you to know I came from Connecticut to give you these 2 minutes of testimony.
Well, thank you for...
I'm Dr. Irene Mulvey. I'm president of the American Association of University Professors. This organization, founded in 1915, is a national leader in higher ed. As I will explain, we oppose HB 999 because of the very negative impact it will have on higher ed in Florida. This harm done to higher ed will have a devastating impact on higher ed as an engine of the economy in this state, and derivative and equally devastating effects on all business and industry here.
So she came from Connecticut to protest against HB 999, Alex Andrade's bill to further reform higher education, to get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, to change the way faculty are hired, to put that under the president's purview rather than under the faculty and, you know, the hiring committee's kind of purview, and a bunch of other changes basically designed to, in my words, okay, fight back against massive liberal bias that is endemic to the higher education system, not just here in Florida, but everywhere in the United States, in order to bring some balance to these topics and try to eradicate some of the bias that is there, you know, in the system. I have raised questions about this with Alex, particularly about the hiring process. You know, I just don't know practically if the president is going to be in a position to make these decisions. It seems, I know how time intensive this is. I taught ethics and logic for about 10 years. I was never on a hiring committee. I was an adjunct only, but still I understand what's involved in the process. And the concern that she raises is, look, you know, Florida's number one right now, but it's number one because of a system and a pattern, a way of doing business. And if you change the way that operational system functions, you're going to destroy everything that you've created here in the state of Florida.
This framework, where decisions on research, teaching, and academics are left to faculty, regulated by disciplinary norms and enforced by peer review, it results in cutting-edge scholarship and breakthroughs that have made American higher ed globally preeminent. HB 999 will dismantle this framework in Florida. It severely erodes academic freedom, and it curtails vitally important aspects of shared governance.
Now, I would say it doesn't destroy academic freedom. I would say in a lot of ways it's striving to recreate academic freedom, because the bias is already so strong in higher education across the board. But still, what she says is, look, people are going to leave your state.
It will have a devastating effect on recruitment of top-tier faculty, postdocs, graduate students, and even undergraduates. Top-tier faculty won't come here. And it will have a devastating effect on retention of the top-tier faculty you already have. Faculty members with opportunities to go elsewhere will go elsewhere, taking all their grant money with them. Students who want to study under these faculty will go elsewhere too, sending tuition dollars out of state.
And you heard this same concern echoed by other professors like Will Hanley from FSU, said that already people don't want to be on these search committees because there's so much work. How much of that is going to be willing to be done by the president? You had another teacher who I think is the opera director at FSU, Matthew Latta. He said that people are already not coming here because of their perception of the environment at the academic institutions in Florida.
Talking now with colleagues across the university, we're not saying, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. It is happening. In the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida State, the number of faculty who have announced that they are leaving in 2023 is double the number of faculty who announced they were leaving in 2022. That's a fact. Searches, and particularly searches for graduate students, are impacted. Graduate assistants teach a large number of undergraduates, and we have to have the best, the most informed, the most engaging students, and they're looking at what they perceive to be the atmosphere in the state of Florida right now, and they're not coming. They're just not coming. And this is having an effect right now. People who go to professional conferences, people are not talking about subject matter anymore. They want to hear what's happening in the state of Florida.
And that was one of the concerns that he echoed, along with the concern that, look, we're number one, and this is a blunt axe, and it's going to wind up destroying all the good things that we have already. If we're already number one, why are we trying to change everything so dramatically, was the question kind of either specifically asked or alleged or implied by several of the speakers yesterday during this committee hearing on HB 999. For response to that, we'll get you that in just a second, but those are the concerns that have been raised. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by ECUA this morning. Not showing any slowdowns. It looks like usual areas of congestion, of course, lights, school drop-offs, etc. But and right near the equestrian center in Beulah, always real, real slow there on 90. And that's all I'm seeing right now. Certainly if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. Help ECUA ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly and keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or download the Recycle Coach app today. Again, traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So one of the key allegations here, aside from, and by the way, there was somebody went from, you know, UWF, Genesis Yoshioka, she's a social work student who said that you're dismantling my department, my course of study, basically, by prohibiting the diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff. And again, there was a lot of criticism of this bill yesterday. Here's where I think this bill is coming from, what it's trying to accomplish. It recognizes, I think rightly so, that higher education across the country in general, and certainly here in the state of Florida, at UWF, just like anywhere else, is dominated by left-of-center thinkers. Overwhelmingly dominated by left-of-center thinkers. In some institutions, to the point where right-of-center or right can't even have a place. I speak from experience. I'll tell you that when I was teaching as an adjunct, I got let go or not asked back or fired, depending on how you want to phrase it, numerous times, even though I was one of the most popular teachers on campus, as rated as highly as you can be by the students. But because, you know, and I always thought, hey, I'm in a department with witches and Satanists and communists and atheists. I fit in real good. You know, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of viewpoints here. Everything but the conservative Christian is what was acceptable again and again and again. It was, and I mean, that is in higher ed. That's been that way for decades, frankly. So and you see it in bias in grading. You see it in how certain viewpoints, you know, teachers will say, we give you the right to say whatever you think. You can disagree with me. That's fine. And then they get penalized when they do so. Now, some teachers say you can disagree and they mean it and they're good teachers. That's true. But it's weird because the teachers generally don't even think they have bias. As Randy Fine said, they just think they're right. They don't even think they have bias. They're very quick to point out the racist bias in the police or the Christian white bias in politics or in business, but they turn around and they don't see their own leftist bias in their own departments, which is why Alex is saying these folks hire people who think like they do. Now, I think these folks are trying really hard to hire highly qualified professors who do great research, who produce excellent academic reports. But I know from experience myself and other, you know, conservative educators at the college level that there is a tremendous amount of pressure to conform and to not. You don't get advanced. You don't get grants. You don't get positions if you don't go within the system of very left-leaning bias in social work fields, anthropology fields, biology, you know, soft sciences, and certainly within, you know, social sciences and arts and humanities. That just is. And so the question is, in Florida, will we, A, destroy a system that's working really well, or B, reform a system that's outperforming every other state but has still got really serious fundamental flaws because of the bias, and actually make a place where people more interested in open, honest conversation will flock to us, including people who might be right of center in their viewpoints and can't find good homes elsewhere? Well, that's going to be a 5 or 10 years from now, we find out. At this point, we don't know. I mean, that's the problem, is we don't know which way it's going to be. Now, one point just worth mentioning is that Alex Andrade was angry yesterday. Angry because of the ongoing repeated lie that Florida doesn't teach about black history. In fact, very early on in the conversation, he got asked by, you know, one of the members and, you know, basically like, you know, do you know who Stephen O'Connor is? And his answer, I'm just going to give you a taste of this. This was before he got angry. But this was basically his answer to Patricia Williams.
You're recognized. Thank you very much, Chair. Representative Williams, yes, of course I'm familiar with Stephen C. O'Connell. I'm in the UF Hall of Fame because of how involved I was at the University of Florida. I just got back from Gainesville. I was across the street from the Stephen C. O'Connell Center because I was recognized by the university as a significant alumni. I'm also familiar with Virgil D. Hawkins. I was the Supreme Court Justice of the UF Student Supreme Court when students were trying to rename the library at the UF Law School after Virgil D. Hawkins. I'm familiar with the past that Florida has to grapple with and the history that Florida has to grapple with. Making sure that students have the accurate history and learn that accurate history is something that's obviously very important to me and very important to anybody else in this committee, I'm sure.
And when he got angry later at the end when he was doing his close,
I am getting fed up with professors who are speaking from positions of authority, trying to speak from authority and act as if the state of Florida refuses to teach Black history in schools. And because apparently either memory or reading comprehension is lacking for some people, I'm going to read the statute that if you were here last year, you voted to approve to go into Florida law.
And he went and read the statute, all of the things that have to be taught in K-12, and it's even more at the university level, for Black history education in the state of Florida. And then, I mean, he was worked up, and I understand why, because this continual lie about Florida, from within Florida, from people who clearly have not read the statutes or the bills.
Do not tell me the state of Florida is trying to ban the teaching of Black history, because if you tell me that, you are either lying or you are biased. That's in chapter 1003. That's for our K-12 institutions. Higher ed is even more expansive. If you're a professor that came to this podium today and said that Florida does not teach Black history, I question your competency as an educator. This is the most egalitarian country in the world. This is the best time to live in that country that has ever been. So if you're going to national conferences and you're whining about our governor and whining about the Stop Woke Act, read it first. Because you're obviously lying about our state, and you are the one causing the problem if there even is one. We have an incredible university system. I'm incredibly proud to be a member of it. I'm incredibly proud to be a Double Gator. My opportunities there, working with students in BSU, working in the Divine Nine, were the reason that no one had to bring their concerns about student groups to me. I was the one that made sure that was in there. Those were the opportunities that made me who I am.
So, yeah, there's some passion on this subject. And I will say this. I got a couple of texts in here that are interesting. You know, one says, the professors that won't come here because of this, good. Good. They're the ones we want to leave anyway. And somebody else texted in and said, and this is actually a great point, it's not possible for these professors to have bias that they're not aware of. After all, they've taken so much unconscious bias training. Oh, that's such a great point. He's being sarcastic. What sort of bias have you internalized in the consumption of and perpetuation of the unconscious bias training that you believe in so deeply? Unconscious bias training cultivates a bias. That bias is everywhere. That's a bias too. 437-1620. I don't know what the outcome of this bill is going to be. It's going to pass. We're going to put it into place. I don't know whether it's going to make Florida's education system fantastic. I don't know whether it's going to ruin it. But I will say this. It is, to me, refreshing that we finally, after my entire adult lifetime of watching the left own the universities, somebody's trying to do something about it. 724 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, guys. guys. I'm Nicole Stacy. There are more things to do in our area than you can even imagine. So who better to share the adventure of the Pensacola experience than the team at Visit Pensacola? Share with us your experience by using the hashtag ExperiencePeakOla. Go to visitpensacola.com and listen in Friday at 9:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Since you're new here, I'm going to cut you a break. So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Oh, man. That's the good stuff. All right, let's get Candy in here with a traffic report. Go ahead, Candy.
Okay. Good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or delays right now. No accidents, not yet anyway. It looks like Davis Highway, Olive, doing just fine. Taking a look over by West Florida, that's just fine as well. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy rolling out the Republican plan to lift the U.S. debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. Legislation McCarthy unveiled on the House floor yesterday includes returning discretionary spending to 2022 levels, capping increased spending to 1% per year, and clawing back billions of dollars in unspent COVID relief funds. The son of music legend Otis Redding has passed away. Otis Redding III died on Tuesday at a hospital in Macon, Georgia. The Bibb County coroner said he died of a recent illness surrounded by family. President Biden announcing more funding that he says will speed up the global energy transition. He'll be announcing this later today when he convenes a global climate summit. The White House says he'll be announcing a $1 billion U.S. contribution to the Green Climate Fund that pays for low-carbon, climate-resistant projects in developing countries.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 728 on News Radio 92.3. When you get your car repaired, especially if it's an import, you might think you got to go to the dealership. That's not true. Beamer, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, Lexus. You can take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. No problem. They work on those cars all the time. Save the time of driving over to, if it's in Mobile, okay, and the cost of going to the dealership, you can work on them there. CarClinicService.com is the website. The idea there is like a healthcare clinic for your car to deal with the small things before they become big things and to prevent the big things by doing what they call, you know, preventative maintenance. That's the idea. 2021 Carfax rated them a top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. The EAS test from hell. Oh, my God. Now, so for me, it was only about 5 minutes early from waking up anyway, but that was enough. I mean, I straight up in bed. My wife straight up in bed. We're like at our phones. What in the... You know, and no, it wasn't a nuclear war.
I always think it is.
It was a scheduled test. There are more to come. So I've been asking.
Don't you find that odd?
I know. And I asked Wes, you know, hey, what'd you do? And he's like, wasn't us. I asked Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety. Wasn't us. And he even tried to figure out who did do it. So I'm like, well, who controls these things? And everybody's like, not sure. So FCC. The FCC controls these things. So I have written a letter, an email to the FCC. There was no phone number for the media coordinator. And my first reaction is I'm like, it's too early to call. It's not too early. You woke me up. I'm waking you up. But there's no phone number for the media contact for the FCC.
Which is also fishy.
Yeah, a little. But I did send her a sternly questioning email asking, look, was this supposed to go out to the cell phones? Because that's a possibility. Is this was like, you know, some intern somewhere didn't untoggle a checkbox for the saved normal preferences for sending out any. Like, it could have just been radio and TV, and they didn't untoggle the box for cell phones. Things like this have happened before. So I will find out whether it was meant to be cell phones. And if it is meant to be cell phones, can you please do it during the daytime as opposed to 3:45 a.m.?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. At least two people are killed in Cole, Oklahoma. There's a search for anyone trapped in tornado-damaged homes. An assisted living center in Shawnee, Oklahoma is damaged and evacuated.
The girls had started getting people in their bathrooms and for those that could, and then pulling people away from the windows. So they're the heroes.
Brookdale's Shawnee Executive Director Shelley Stewart. Career IRS agents offering testimony in Congress about the investigation into President Biden's son, Hunter.
Mark Lytle, the attorney representing the unidentified whistleblower, sending a letter to lawmakers claiming the agent has protected disclosures that, quote, detail preferential treatment and politics improperly infecting decisions and protocols that would normally be followed by career law enforcement professionals in similar circumstances if the subject were not politically connected.
Fox's Brooke Singman. Hunter Biden's been under federal investigation since 2018. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne for News Radio. It is 59 and sunny here in Pensacola. Brutal mistreatment of corpses, trash, biohazardous material being left in body bags, incorrectly labeling accidental overdoses as suicide deaths. These are some allegations that local funeral homes have now made against the District 1 medical examiner, Dr. Deanna Oleski.
They allege that all of these sorts of rough treatments to the bodies have started since this new medical examiner has come aboard. In fact, one of them went so far as to request that this medical examiner be replaced.
Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Burgosh there, and he tells us that for his part, he's not buying into all the allegations based off of conversations he's had with people he trusts in the industry. Now, we have reached out to the state medical examiner's office for comment. We're still waiting to hear back from them. An Escambia County man accused of having sex with a mentally defective person. Robert Murado was arrested on sexual battery charges related to the case this week. This incident reportedly happened last January. Investigators say Murado met a victim. They went to a home where they had sex. Deputies say that victim was unable to appraise the nature of conduct and consent to the action. Murado reportedly told deputies he believed that person to be a little slow but competent. He's now being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. State lawmakers working to invalidate Disney's last-minute deals with the Reedy Creek Improvement District. Amendments added yesterday to two bills would make it illegal for special districts to honor development agreements made within 3 months of a law that would change how oversight board members are chosen. The new board also gets 4 months to decide if any prior development deal should go forward. Democratic State Representative Anna Eskamani claims that the House amendment is unconstitutional because it's retroactive, but the amendment's sponsor disagrees. Fire crews in Walton County were able to save a Miramar Beach ice cream shop from a fire yesterday. Firefighters responded to that fire in a restroom facility. It was attached to the Moolala ice cream and fudge shop yesterday. When they arrived, firefighters say there was smoke coming from the restroom facility. Crews were able to extinguish the fire before it spread to that ice cream shop, and nobody was hurt. South Walton Fire Marshal says the fire was probably caused by a water heater in a utility closet. Next week, Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves plans to ask the Pensacola City Council to approve the lease agreement for Project Pickle. According to the proposal, warehouse number 4 at the Port of Pensacola would be rehabbed to house 15 modular courts. Those courts could house pickleball, basketball, or volleyball.
Just having a 45,000 square foot facility, you know, you could think of a lot of uses, be it conventions, things like that, that this building would have the capability of filling a need for us in the community.
And under that agreement, Reeves says the warehouse for sports would invest $2 million into the building and also pay the city an annual lease fee of $26,000, and that could go up based on inflation. 7:35, it's News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. A little slow at the Atmore cutoff, but it doesn't look like an accident. I do see an accident at Bloodsworth Lane and Davis Highway. That's by the Burger King, but it looks like it may have been moved off to the side, showing it is clear now, but maybe watch for emergency vehicles. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Beautiful day in store today with plenty of sunshine, high near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For your Friday, beautiful weather continues with a high near 77, partly sunny skies with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. We will be seeing some rain Friday night into Saturday morning with a 50% chance of rain Saturday morning. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is sunny in 59 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 54 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Facebook parent Meta Platforms has started its latest round of layoffs as part of a previously announced effort to restructure the tech giant's workforce by downsizing about 10,000 employees. Up to 4,000 workers may be affected by this round of layoffs, which focus on Meta's engineering staff. A Southern California startup is working to create a new overnight passenger train service that would link Los Angeles and San Francisco. Dreamstar Lines Incorporated calls the experience a premium overnight hotel passenger train service, saying passengers will be able to board trains in one station, fall asleep in a private room, and wake up at their destination. A key measure of home purchase applications fell sharply last week as consumer demand cooled in the face of higher mortgage rates. Mortgage applications tumbled 8.8%. For the first drop in months, demand for refinancings fell 6%. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a lower open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Do you want better health? Not the gym or diets. Think of the one thing that everyone has in common that's the foundation of your body, your bones. You need OsteoStrong. OsteoStrong, it's not a gym, diet, supplements, pharmaceuticals, or a medical treatment. It's a scientifically backed concept with proven technology to help you improve your overall health. OsteoStrong helps many improve bone density, posture, balance, athletic performance, and less joint and back pain. Call OsteoStrong today and start feeling better in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Intergalactic planetary,
Good morning. 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Raise your hand if you've been up for 4 hours since the EAS at 3:45. Oh, man. I sent a letter to the FCC. I may have sent it to the wrong place. We'll see. I got a couple of other possible targets for this thing, but, man, people are not happy. People are really angry about getting woken up so early. And I understand. See, my advantage is I can get woken up and go right back to sleep in 20 seconds because I'm basically, what's the word, exhausted all the time. That's basically where I'm at.
How many hours of sleep do you get?
At a time? On a weekday?
Yes.
3.5.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So
anyway, like, ah, come on.
We need to talk about this situation with the claims about the medical examiner's office. In case you haven't been following the story or heard the news or read the news or watched the news, that's why I'm here to tell you. So letters from three different funeral homes that have surfaced claiming that the medical examiner's office, DOMES, okay, District 1 Medical Examiner's Service, District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, anyway, is doing all kinds of things wrong. The staff is uncooperative. They're, you know, misidentifying causes of death. They're slow to react. They're not taking care of the bodies. The bodies are being sent out in terrible condition. A whole range of allegations, okay? And I'm not going to get into the particular details, but the language of these allegations from the funeral home folks is very strongly worded, in some cases very over the top in the way that it's worded, okay? There's a lot to talk about here, and I'm going to start with, because Candy's kind of an expert in this field. She trained to be a funeral director.
Right, I studied at New York State, no. Right.
And so she's got some knowledge, and I'll just, basic questions for you. When you read all these letters.
I did.
Okay. And your thought when reading them was?
I don't know. Like some, I could see where it would happen, okay. I guess. And I've seen, I don't know, when you're taking classes like this, they definitely instill respect, you know, in you. Mm-hmm. And it is a big, 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 big deal to take care of the family, you know, not just the grief, but, you know, the body and respect the body, even though it's gone on.
Right.
And so I could see where a funeral director would be upset, where a doctor might just go, eh. You
it's
know,
a body.
It's a body, right?
It's
you
a
know,
cadaver.
So I could
right.
see where that would happen. One seemed a little over the top. I think it mentioned like stuff was still left, and I think David kind of covered
right.
that, like
right.
in the body. It's like, how would you find out? You're not cutting open the body; you're embalming it. And
did,
I could
when,
see where.
When you read the claims, did they sound likely to you to be accurate, exaggerated, some combination thereof?
It seemed accurate.
Okay.
I mean, maybe.
Of course, we have not. Dan Schebler was talking to Channel 3 last night. I actually talked to Dan yesterday. I've been trying to get him this morning to see if we can get him on the show, and I thought I was going to be able to, and it just didn't pan out. By the way, the reason we don't have Mike Wood right now is because I asked him, and I'm like, do we have anything to talk about today? He's like, no. I'm like, perfect.
That's good. Just, that's a
yeah,
pleasant
good.
Problem to
right.
have.
No,
yeah,
no law enforcement stories for the week.
Sure.
We're good. Anyway, so that's one thing is, are they credible? Now, the medical examiner's office has a chance to respond. Okay, and we want to give them the opportunity to respond. As I said, Dan last night on Channel 3, he basically told them that, you know, this is the first they were hearing of it, which is problematic. We'll get into kind of the problems in this story in just a second. But he says, look.
Several of the allegations that are made are inaccurate.
Yeah, and that's, and also more than that, that like turning around the bodies in time, they do that consistently.
We receive over 6,000 cremation permit requests annually, close to 7,000. And a doctor reviews every single one of those to make sure that the manner and cause of death is appropriate and complete and accurate. We turn those around in 90%+ of the time the same day, many of them within hours.
And, of course, he denied the characterization that was made in several of the comments here.
And respect for those deceased individuals. So I find that characterization inappropriate.
And he says, look, give us specific examples and we'll talk about specific examples and then we'll try to resolve those. And he's even offered to kind of meet with them and, you know, hey, let's figure this out. Okay, so that's the story as we know it so far. But there's background to this story. And the background of this story is weird. I mean, it's weird. First of all, this all came to light because Commissioner Jeff Bergosh wrote a blog post about it, okay? And that blog post did not start with this. It started with me. he's always angry at me. And he's angry at me, and so the blog post started with how awful, a terrible, you know, person that I am and all the things that I don't know. and you know, personal kind of attacks on me or whatever, which is par for the course from Jeff Bergosh. You'll notice, by the way, if you ever listen to me, you know, I don't ever attack people personally. And if I do, you call me on it, because I didn't mean to. I've never attacked Jeff Bergosh personally. He relishes in attacking me personally, which always, as a logician, sends off a red flag in my head. Like, the person to first move to personal attacks is usually admitting that they're wrong. Otherwise, they'd make the good arguments instead of the bad arguments. Anyway, so it starts off with me, which is weird. And then he talks about, you know, well, I've got these concerning reports about the medical examiner's office, but I don't want to publish them because, you know, I haven't substantiated the allegations. Come on, brother. You know for a fact that if you put that on your blog, that news organizations are going to make records requests and then publish the letters. Unless you're dumb, and Jeff Bergosh is not dumb. Okay? See, I can compliment him. So
yeah, the words every guy's dying to hear.
He puts his blog post out clearly knowing that all of the things in these letters are going to come to light. Of course. And even in the later in the blog post, it's like, I don't have any problem with Dr. Oleski. This isn't what I've known from her. This is, everything's fine. And I talked to somebody in the industry who doesn't confirm any of these allegations. So I'm not sure about it. But hint, hint, go look them up. You know, like, that's kind of the tone of it. All right. So this is, by the way, two days after I talked extensively about the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office facility on this show and how I think Jeff Bergosh and Stephen Barry and Lumen May are wrong in trying to push for keeping a second facility here, that Mike Kohler is right in saying it ought to be in Santa Rosa County, it ought to be one facility. And so it's weird timing, at the very least. It's weird timing. And to have all of this come out in connection with that, and I wouldn't have thought much of it except that he specifically mentions me in the same post in which all this stuff comes up. So it seems like it's related in his mind, which is odd. We'll finish this up in just a second, but Candy first got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays. Accident at Bloodworth Lane and North Davis Highway near the Burger King. Now, it says no roadblock, but certainly watch for emergency crews on scene. And then taking a look in Cantonment, Kingsfield and 97 showing an accident with, again, no roadblock. Use caution. And traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, so back to the kind of the oddnesses here. As far as I know, and I have to say it that way because I don't know, but there haven't been similar complaints made in other counties. The District 1 Medical Examiner serves four counties. Do the folks in Okaloosa and Walton and, you know, Santa Rosa, have there been complaints about her there? Other funeral services, again, as far as I know,
the answer
is no. Is it
just the three letters?
Yeah, so as far as we know, okay. The one was dated March 9th. The others don't have dates on them. Why would they go to the county instead of going to the medical examiner or going to the state board that oversees the medical examiner?
Well, you don't know that they haven't gone to the
maybe
state
they have.
Board.
That's, no, that's
I'm
exactly
sure
right.
If they had complaints, they probably lodged
absolutely.
Them. And they probably saw all this happening and thought, now is the time. That's
maybe they
my
have.
Guess.
That's exactly right.
And
maybe
somebody
they
texted
have.
In asking if they're doing Weekend at Bernie's. And no, it's nothing at all
no,
like that
no.
at all.
And so, and again, it kind of comes in this context of, if it were just randomly, like this was the only thing we were hearing about, I wouldn't have any of my like red flag alerts up. I would just be like, oh man, what in the world is going on at the medical examiner's office? But it comes at a weird time. The blog post specifically came with reference to me talking about the facility. And why isn't it other places? And what's the response? And why wouldn't they work this out with them? And is it all accurate? I don't know. It could be that the medical examiner's office is, you know, a catastrophe. It could be that these funeral directors don't like where the facility is going to go, and this is their way of raising that concern or trying to leverage. I don't know the truth of it all. I'm saying that because of the way it's all come out, that it makes you just kind of ask questions. And by the way, I got independent texts from people that I had not talked to about this who are, you know, well-connected with these issues, and that was their question. Boy, the timing here is interesting. You know? And look, precisely because I have such a negative view of Jeff Bergosh, I have to watch against my own bias to interpret him as doing something weird here, which he might just be like, hey, in case you didn't all know, this is going on. That's a possibility, too. 437-1620, 437-1620. So I just kind of thought that, you know, some of that conversation, because obviously the allegations are huge. And if they're true, that's a real problem. And if they're not true, the fact that they're not true is a real problem. And the way this has all come out, just, you know, there's a lot of nuance and complication of this story, and I just wanted to at least talk about some of those factors before, you know, it gets too far away from us and everybody just believes the things that they're seeing in the allegations. 7:49 on News Radio 92.3. And by also, the fact that the funeral directors would go on TV and say some of the things they said and back up and put their name on the letter.
And put their reputation on stage?
Absolutely.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal, too. Right? That is seriously concerning. I guess it's worth saying this too. You'll remember that our county commissioners are Burgosh and Stephen Barrett particularly are very thin-skinned and don't like to be challenged or offended or disagreed with, and have taken action against employees to get rid of them when they don't like how they're, you know, and they don't like it when, like, you know, your master planners don't treat you very nicely in the emails, and so they make decisions that cost the county money because of their hurt feelings. Remember, several months ago, Dr. Oleski and several staffers showed up at the county commission meeting to talk about how bad the conditions were at the offices and, hey, y'all need to do something. Don't think they didn't forget that, too. I'm just, the problem is you have this ongoing pattern of shadiness, you know, and like you don't know what to make of stuff when that's a possibility. Me, I always like to trust people. I always like to prefer to believe, hey, they're on the level. They're giving me the arguments. The arguments are what they say they are. The evidence, what they say it is. That's how I tend to interact with the world. You have to drag me to believe the other. And all I'm saying is that in situations like this, the problem is I've learned from so many examples that I can't just take it all at face value. I wish I could. It's so much easier to do life that way. 7:51 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Did you know that over 90% of male enhancement pills are virtually the same thing that's repackaged, redone over and over again? Why settle for the same old product when you can get something completely different? Something that takes male enhancement into the 21st century. Something that really works. Men, you need to try Noxitril, the explosive, all-natural male enhancement formula that will unlock your performance in the bedroom to a level you could only dream of. Try to imagine Viagra on steroids. Noxitril is so powerful, that's why it took years for it to finally become available to the public without a prescription. So call now and take advantage of our special Noxitril free bottle offer today. Oh yeah, we recommend that you use the Noxitril dose as directed. Think of your partner. We certainly don't want you to overperform in the bedroom.
Find out how to get a free bottle of Noxitril. Call 800-490-7856. That's 800-490-7856. Free bottles for a limited time, so call now. 800-490-7856. 800-490-7856.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Oh, Norman!
Norman?
How's life, Norm?
Not for the squeamish, Coach.
Good morning, 754 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got... I'd be early to traffic. Dang it. I never go early to traffic. I don't want to start now. Let's get David Wayne. No, I just misread the clock, which happens all the time. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Take that, Candy.
Yeah, well, see, yeah. David first, not you.
Here's your time to shine.
A tornado near Oklahoma City being blamed for at least two deaths. The sheriff's office in McLean County there says search and rescue efforts are continuing in the town of Cole. That's just south of Oklahoma City. They say more deaths are possible as the efforts continue. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy rolling out a Republican plan to lift the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. The legislation unveiled yesterday on the House floor includes returning discretionary spending to 2022 levels, capping increased spending to 1% per year, and taking back millions of dollars in unspent COVID relief funds. North Carolina authorities say they're searching for a man who allegedly shot and seriously injured three people after a basketball rolled into his yard. The Gaston County Police Department searching for 24-year-old Robert Singletary. He's accused of shooting a 6-year-old girl, her parents, and another neighbor on Tuesday.
Thanks so much, David. I appreciate it. 7:55 now. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Oh, thank you. as we take a look around, there's an accident at Bloodsworth and Davis Highway. That's near the Burger King on Davis Highway in Pensacola, kind of near the radio station, which is why I know where it is. No roadblock, though, but a watch for emergency vehicles. And same in Cantomid, not showing a roadblock at Kingsfield and 97, but I am showing an accident. And again, watch for emergency vehicles there as well. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So on a completely different note, did you happen to see the video of the Washington State school where they brought all the kids into the lunchroom auditorium? I'm not quite sure which. It's hard to tell from the video. And in the middle of the room, they had a table. And on the table, they had a kind of a framed piece of plexiglass. And on the piece of plexiglass, they had smeared marshmallow stuff, and then they had teachers and students maybe coming up from either side in a competition where they were told that they were to lick the marshmallow off of the side of the plexiglass while the other person was licking it off of the other side of the plexiglass.
At FPL, one of the things we do is
in the same position, and whoever could lick it off first was going to be the winner, and there was like five of them to lick the five different. No, this is a real thing. It's got to be middle school because high schoolers would have different language. Actually, middle schoolers might have different language too, but they just on and on and on for a full minute as they're watching this weirdly horrifying display of bad judgment by the school. Middle school, Desert Hills Middle School in Kennewick. Minor students and adult teachers licking marshmallow cream off of either side of two clear plexiglass panes at the same time during a competition at a pep rally. Go Tigers! Like, what? Oh, man. So, yeah. Many parents have called and said, what's going on? This is pretty uncomfortable having this conversation with my kids around. Why are you doing this? Who thought this was a good idea? Look, I'm pretty lenient. I tend to think, teachers try to be creative and try to come up with something interesting and different and memorable, and sometimes they go astray. This would be a gone astray kind of moment. My God, you've got, and the weirdest one, too, was the last one, because it was a guy kind of, well, let's just say that after his way of removing the marshmallow, the plexiglass would have wanted a restraining order. I'll just put it that way. It was demonstrative. Just,
I love you. Gross, gross. Yeah. Like, dude,
just
I feel
ongoing,
you.
Ongoing, no.
Dude, this is so gross.
This is so gross. But, honestly, what it raises is, okay, so for me, it's a sociology experiment.
Of course.
Do kids know enough to leave when something horrible is happening, to protest, or to not just sit there and be like, ah? But when teachers are doing it, you think maybe it's okay. I don't know. To me, that's the conversation.
You took that darkly.
No, that's the conversation is, you know, do kids know enough to stand up to authority when authority is clearly doing the wrong thing?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Big donation to the General Chappie James Memorial Plaza from FPL.